What happens when a Catholic deacon matches wits with a Catholic radio show host? You get a marriage made in heaven. They may not always agree, but they're always faithful. It's the Aikens with their View from the Pew on Modern Day Radio.
And welcome to this episode of View from the Pew. I'm your host, Brenda Aiken, and joining me today is the man whose dance card is really filled up these days, the good deacon, Scott Aiken.
Yeah, the Lord is filling my quote-unquote retired time before I go back to start teaching at Seton Catholic in my new job with all kinds of meetings with people and activities for the work of Encounter Ministries. And so every day has been filled with meeting with people and blessing homes. And I just am grateful because I'm not having any means of staying home and not finding anything to do, which is, I think, the biggest fear that people have when they retire. Like, I'm going to get bored. If we let God lead us, it's amazing how much we can fill our calendar with need of others.
First of all, I got to say, even for our day and age, there were no such thing as a dance card. Way back when, young ladies used to have a little card at dances, and the young men would, the suitors would come fill a spot on her dance card so that way they'd get a little bit of time. For you and I, sometimes I feel like our time to record our show today is maybe the longest amount of just uninterrupted time we get during a week because life can be busy and there is a need out there. You've been very good though about filling in time to be able to meet with people and still be able to be home early in the afternoon when I come home or when it's time to meet for dinner. But there are times like yesterday where I left early in the morning, you left a little bit later in the morning, and well, you didn't get home until long after dark. So we don't do that very often, but we are thankful to God that it's not the majority of our time because, boy, when those are really, really busy days like that, it can be hard on a marriage.
What should have been an exhausting day for me yesterday, it started 15 minutes after you left for work. I left at 5:30 and I didn't get home until about 10:30 at night. It was all wrapped in learning and teaching and being about the Lord's work. And the day should have been, I think, in any other circumstance, a 15-hour day is exhausting. But by the time I got home, I felt so good. I wasn't like I was feeling frenetic or like, you know, I'm punchy. No, I felt peaceful. And so it was a good exhaustion. And it reminds me that I think when we do the work for the Lord, it is regenerating. It's not something that takes out of us necessarily, as we might otherwise think, like, oh, I've got to go do all these things. Well, when we hand it to the Lord, which I called you excitedly yesterday, it was one of those things was just getting things to line up the way that they lined up and being excited about that they were working. Our schedule of our day is not our schedule, it's the Lord's schedule. And when we figure that out and we fall into that more often, then we'll feel more joy out of the day that we would otherwise be like, oh my gosh, this is exhausting. So that's what I felt yesterday. And I was really grateful for it because it was otherwise a long day.
People often think of all of the things that we control, our schedule is the most in control thing that we have, that it's not God's schedule and he doesn't place before us the things that he wants us to do, that we're in control of that. And we decide who we're going to see and who we're not going to see and what we've got to do and what we aren't going to do. For any parent who's raising a family, you realize that you don't get to make a whole lot of decisions though when it comes to the children's schedule. They got to be there or they're not going to be there. And so when it's trying to fill in all of that empty void with all of the other things that we feel is necessary. But that's the trick, is determining what are these things that I've got to do, and I've got to be involved in this group, and I've got to take on this project, and I've got to go make sure that this is being handled in the time that I've got in between these two other things. It can be exhausting. And yet we feel like we've got to control every minute of our day. And boy, the first thing that goes by the wayside is that time with God. And so throughout the day, no matter what busyness lies in a schedule, we've got to invite God to be a part of every single moment. Because as you said, it's not our schedule, it's God's.
When we let it be God's schedule, we begin to see miracles that we would otherwise be blinded to. And that's the beauty, I think, when we begin to see miracles in our common ordinary day, that we begin to be enlivened in faith that, my gosh, God is really with me in all places at all times. He cares about my getting to the store safely. He cares about my response to this person, even though I'm exhausted. And I've said a quick prayer to give me strength to be present to this person. And he does. And we see these in the right light when we trust him and turn it over to him. And we don't do that well all the time. And I'm not purporting that I'm an expert by any means at doing that. But yesterday was a day that I saw a miracle happen. And I think when we are able to order ourselves to God's will, we begin to see miracle in our life that we would otherwise miss.
And you got to be watching out for those miracles. You think about a day when everything goes exactly as you planned. There wasn't an issue. Your car got you there and back, and there was everything just worked out beautifully. Do you ever think, well, God, thank you for those miracles, because right. Who knows how it could have gone wrong? But God, in his divine purpose, decided for us on this day, these are the miracles that are going to happen, so that way you arrive home safely. I don't think we think about that. We think about the miracles like, God, I need a miracle right now. And boy, there is a time in everybody's life where we need divine intervention. And that comes to today's show. Joining us today, it is author Anthony DeStefano. His new book is The Miracle Book, A Simple Guide to Asking for the Impossible. The big question is, Scott, does God hear us when we ask for a miracle? And does he answer all of them? Well, Anthony, he's got some answers for you.
When we come back, we'll share a little bit of experience that we have with miracles and understanding more clearly how we ask and how we ask wrongly at times.
So stay with us. We got a great show ahead for you on this week's View from the Pew.
Please join me, Monsignor John Syak from the Archdiocese of Portland and Oregon, in praying the Our Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
For more prayer resources, please download the free Hail Mary Media app or visit us online at materdeiradio.com. We are leading souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary at Mater Dei Radio.
Jesus provided so many lessons during his ministry. One message he repeated often, have strong faith. What was his response to those amazed by his miracles? Have strong faith. When the blind came to him in need, he provided vision, teaching that great faith allows each of us to see more clearly throughout the happenings of our lives. When loved ones mourn the dead, Jesus provided new life, showing us that great faith can work to transform our lives no matter how hopeless matters may seem. When demons possessed people, our Lord cured them, showing us that when personal challenges overwhelm us, perhaps psychological problems, healing is available if we keep our strong faith in God. The lesson is clear from God. Amazing things will happen if we keep a strong faith in God. This has been Michael Gisondi with a bit of Catholic encouragement.
Summertime is a great time to drive the open road. Unless your old reliable wheels just aren't up to the task anymore. You know who could use that old car? Mater Dei Radio. You can donate most vehicles, cars, trucks, vans, RVs, and boats to Mater Dei Radio's vehicle donation program with the proceeds supporting a faith-filled Catholic broadcast. And in return, getting yourself a likely tax deduction. More information on our vehicle donation program at materdeiradio.com.
Family life can be hectic, but God can be found right in the middle of it. So take a moment for this week's View from the Pew.
At some point, maybe even today, everyone, we need a miracle. Now, it might involve our health or finances. Maybe if you're a student, you've said a prayer or two before a big test, needing a little bit of help. But there does come a time when all of us experience the need for supernatural help, whether we have faith or not. And there is a method of praying for that miracle, at least alleviate any of the stress and satisfy our souls. Well, best-selling author Anthony DeStefano explains this powerful new approach in asking God for that miracle in his new book, and it is perfectly named The Miracle Book. Anthony is joining us to tell us more about it. Good morning, Anthony. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Brenda. Love being with you here.
Anthony, as I said in the introduction, I have prayed for a miracle or two. I believe that they happen all the time. And in fact, when a whole day goes by perfectly without an issue, I think that is because a miracle has happened. But there does come time when we need some real help. And as I said, health or finances or issues with the family, and we pray for that miracle. Does God hear us? I mean, whenever we go and ask for prayer, is God hearing that? Or does God already know what we need even without us asking?
Well, that's a big question, and it's the reason why I wrote the book. And yes, I think that God does hear us all the time, but sometimes, you know, we don't even know what we're asking for. You know, our spoken prayers may be very passionate and sincere and heartfelt, but, you know, they don't always reflect the real desires and the real needs that we have. In other words, we may think we know what we want. Let's say a restored relationship, a son or a daughter making it into a prestigious college or winning the lottery or even being cured of some terrible disease. But our souls may be longing for something even more profound, like peace or freedom or security or love or significance. That's a big one. Or joy or healing from wounds we don't even realize we have. So, for instance, if you're praying to get a certain job at a big company, what you really might be praying for is what you think that job is going to get you, like greater financial freedom or a feeling of importance, a way to advance your career. But if you knew that that job was going to make you miserable and frustrated, well, you wouldn't be praying for it. Well, God can see the future. He knows that. And in his wisdom, he listens not only to the words that come out of our mouths, but also to the silent cry of our souls. That's the tension, the spoken prayer versus the soul prayer. And the paradox involved is that if God sees the two are not aligned, then he's always going to answer the deeper, truer request, not the superficial one. You know, Jesus says in the Gospels, what father would give his child a scorpion or a snake when he was asking for a fish or an egg? In other words, what father would give his child something bad when he was really asking for something good? Well, sometimes we don't even realize that what we're asking for is scorpions and snakes. And being a good father, he doesn't give them to us. So he looks past our words and to our true desires.
Anthony, I was actually taught when I am making a prayer of petition that petition should be very direct, very specific about what my need is of the Father. Are you saying then, rather than asking for a miracle directly, that it should be more generalized?
I am not saying that. And that involves actually another paradox, the paradox that we are supposed to be precise in our prayers, but yet at the same time, very open. See, there's value in being specific and precise. Precision in prayer shows God that we trust him with the intimate details of our lives, just as we would a close friend. And if the goal of a Christian is to have a personal relationship with the Lord, and that's just not for Protestants, but for Catholics too, then we have to share those kinds of details. That's what relationship's all about, sharing. Also, when we make specific requests, we're acknowledging that God isn't just, you know, the Lord of the church we happen to belong to. He's the Lord of our families, the Lord of our finances, the Lord of our relationships and our vacations and our bedrooms. So, but at the same time, Brenda, when we're being precise, we simultaneously have to be open to God's will. And the reason, as I just said before, is that we don't know what's truly best for us. We don't even know what we really want sometimes. And we have to trust. And so much of, you know, what we want sometimes is influenced by our fear and desire and our pride and our pain and ambition. So openness to God's will shows that we trust him because he can see the big picture. He can see the future. He's already in the future. And so we have to be radically open to God's will. And that's exactly the way Jesus Christ prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said a specific prayer, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." He wanted to avoid the crucifixion at the last moment because of the pain he knew he'd go through. But at the same time, he said, "But not my will, your will." And that's the way he was able to save humanity and open up the gates of heaven for us, by being radically open to the will of the Father. And we have to do that too.
Anthony DiStefano is joining us today. So often Anthony joins us because he has a new children's book that help explain the faith. Well, today it's a book for the grown children when we are trying to ask for a miracle. His new book is The Miracle Book, A Simple Guide to Asking for the Impossible. It is available through Sophia Institute Press. Well, Anthony, we often get in this childlike way of thinking, meaning that, well, I don't want to always be asking God to give me something, a miracle, get this thing for me, that we try to negotiate our prayers, maybe thinking in our mind, well, I'll pray for this person, and while I'm doing that, I'm going to ask for something for myself. Can we negotiate prayer with God? Is it important to remember, like, we can't always be asking for ourselves, that we need to be remembering other people too in our ask?
Yeah, absolutely, because you know, sometimes we think of God as if he's a vending machine. You know, you put a prayer in, like you put a quarter in, and you're hoping to get a miracle back, like a candy bar. But that's not what God wants. He doesn't need our prayers. He's trying to build a relationship with us. That's what he wants, a relationship. And why does he want a relationship? So that we can grow, that our souls can grow. And one day, when we die, we're going to be happier in heaven because our souls are so big. They've been pushed and stretched, and that's what the purpose of our life on earth is, to push and stretch those souls to make them be able to hold more of God, so we can be more joyful in the next life. And in order to make our souls grow, it requires lots of different kinds of prayers, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of petition, the kinds that we're talking about right now, prayers of repentance, and prayers of intercession. Those are, you know, when we pray for other people, then we're showing that we understand this concept that St. Paul elaborated about on the body of Christ, that it's not just a one-on-one relationship we have with the Lord. A personal relationship is very important, but we're part of a community of believers, and that community has to help one another. So yes, you always have to be praying for other people. And when you pray for a miracle, you also have to ask others to pray for you, because that's what God wants them to do. And we ask not only our family and friends to pray for us, but we ask the saints in heaven, because they're alive right now. They're more alive than we are. They're closer to God than we are. So if you need a miracle right now, one of the things you have to do is don't forget the saints. Don't forget Our Lady. Don't forget to ask your family and friends. Don't keep your need for a miracle a secret. You don't have to tell everybody what the specific need is, but tell people to pray for your intention. God will know what it is.
And especially, I think, added to every prayer is a prayer for ourselves to accept God's will. Because you had mentioned that we don't always know what we are asking for, even when we're asking for something directly. Discernment is a part of the process in prayer petition, then, is to look inwards. Anthony, is that what you're saying? So that way you can understand.
It helps us to understand ourselves. Also, it gets rid of our frustration and our angst. My goodness, there's so many prayers I said in my life, Brenda, that I really wanted to be a doctor at some point. You know, when I was young, I wanted to be a doctor. And I prayed to be a doctor, even though I wasn't very religious. I didn't get to be a doctor. A couple of little things got in the way, like organic chemistry and integral calculus and things like that. But you know, I realized in retrospect that would have been the worst thing in the world for me to be. I would have hated all that blood. I would have hated dealing with hospital bureaucracies. I would have been a miserable person to be working all those hours as an intern. Okay, what I really wanted to be was to be a healer. That's the desire that I had. And God did in fact grant me my wish in my prayer, because I became an author of now something like 30 books, and it's possible to heal not just with a scalpel, but with words. And I can't imagine being more fulfilled than I am now. But had I realized at that time when I was younger that God wasn't saying no to me, he was saying, not yet, just wait what I've got planned for you. It's going to be something much better, much greater than you ever desired. Just give me a little time to arrange things, give your time self to get more mature, you know, and things will happen in God's perfect time.
Oh, absolutely. And so allow God to dream for us what is so much greater than what we could imagine for ourselves. And how many more lives by following God's will and becoming an author have you been able to save and heal versus what you could have done with your hands as a doctor is a perfect example of what can be found in Anthony's new book, The Miracle Book. Anthony, tell our listeners where they can get a copy for themselves.
You know, I'm very blessed. You can get this book wherever books are sold, as they say, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. The publisher is Sophia Institute Press. You can go directly to them if you like. And I always like to encourage people to patronize their local Christian and Catholic bookstores. Give those folks, those good folks, some business.
All right, perfect. Well, Anthony, it's always a great morning when you join us. Thanks so much for sharing your book, The Miracle Book, with us today. Anthony's explanation about him wanting to be a healer and thought that meant he was asking to be a doctor when God had a different idea of what being a healer was, that made me realize is that when we are asking for something in our lives and we just need this miracle, that there is a little bit of discernment that goes along with it. And when we discern with God our need, then it becomes maybe a little bit easier to see what the miracle is. Through your work with Encounter Ministries, you're beginning to understand miracle and why sometimes it happens and sometimes it doesn't, and sometimes why it happens for just a little bit amount of time. What has your encounter shown you?
Yeah, by no means do I have an answer to give the listeners as to this is the formula to get a response that you want. In fact, it's just the antithesis of that. We're to be trusting and surrendering the ask to God. And so to surrender, it means that I'm doing the best to let go of my expectation. And I'm reminding myself that you're the God of abundance. You're the God of love. And as we heard in the gospel reading this last week, would a father give their son a scorpion if he asks for bread? No. They're going to give them something substantial. How much more my father will give you if you ask? And so the question does come to this root need of how do I ask? And as I shared a little bit ago, that we can ask wrongly. And the wrongly part is when we put, I think, the air of despair in the ask. We're to ask in faith, not in despair, not in anxiety. And that's kind of hard to let go of, isn't it?
It is hard to let go of, or in the case of, and I think I can recall a time or two, especially when I was younger, trying to negotiate the miracle right with God. God, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you. That's not how gifts happen either.
Right. It's not a quid pro quo. And that's what that is, really. When you do this for me, I'll do this for you. God is doing for us and more. And so When we fall into that and we trust that actually God is, he's giving more than I'm asking for. I just have to let go and be open to seeing that. And so if our ask is directly for a specific healing for someone, we desire that out of love for them. And so we are in that moment, Jesus' hands and feet praying with that person. And our hope is that they are healed. But in that, we also have to be aware that there may be things that we can't see that Jesus sees that need to be addressed in that person. And so that might not be a moment of healing for them. And so our desire needs to be one that we have hope that no matter what the physical outcome that we see or hear happens, that there is absolutely grace being poured into that person in our prayer for healing. And it may not be the outcome that we expect, but we cannot discount the grace that is poured out to that individual in the prayer for healing. And sometimes we see the miraculous healing, and sometimes that healing may take a period of time, And sometimes the healing may not come. And there are saints that speak about bearing that when they realize this is something that they're offering up to Christ as a suffering for others. That is the mystery of our faith, and that is what the foundation of the word faith comes to, is that it's not a certainty. It's a commitment in love, in hope for the best for the individual that we're praying for. And Jesus, that glorifies Jesus, that and it glorifies the Father, to, that we ask for that. And in return, there are those moments where we have that. And I've been a part of miraculous healing in my experience in Encounter Ministries. And I've been also a part of where the healing didn't come as we had hoped for. But I am less impacted by that than I used to be, because I know more and more as I grow in my faith that God hears and blesses that individual through the prayers that I and others might pray over an individual for a miracle to happen. So our notion of miracle is limited by the whiz-bang of what movies might represent or something along that line. It's not in the reality that effect is happening spiritually within that person. I'd rather be healed internally in my spirit than I would be physically in my body. And that is what Jesus does. So a person that receives peace in a moment of anxiety because of a suffering they're having, that's a gift. And we discount that like, I wanted more than peace. I wanted the limb to come back into right order. I wanted the cancer to leave the person's body. But no, maybe all they received in that prayer was just a peace that they can't explain, but now they can bear what they're suffering.
And I guess, Scott, for those of us who are sitting in the pews, we hear those words, we understand what it means, but it's hard. I admit, it is hard to accept when you see certain people receive miracles, quite obviously, in fantastic ways. And then when mm-hmm. you see and pray for somebody and think, this is awful that it didn't come through. I still don't understand sometimes. And maybe my prayer today is just, God, help me understand that you know the need far better than I do. Scott, before we go today, will you end us in prayer?
Lord, we recognize the need to act as your hands and feet in the moment. So help us this week and the weeks beyond to trust when you present an opportunity for us to pray over somebody for a miracle, that we act in hope, that we act in love in that moment, and that we pray over that person with that conviction of hope and love, not with an expectation of absolute healing response that we have set expectations to. We ask this in complete surrender and trust to you, Lord. Lord Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen.
And that is going to wrap it up for us this week. Please tune in next week as we share more stories of our faith, our family, and our view from the pew.
God bless and have a great week.
You've been listening to View from the Pew, a weekly look at faith and family life from a Catholic perspective with Deacon Scott and Brenda Aiken. For more information on the Aikens and to listen to an archive of their previous shows, visit them online at materdeiradio.com/pew. View from the Pew is produced at the studios of Mater Dei Radio in Portland, Oregon.